Good morning.
Good morning.
Many are gone. We have many travelers. We have Aaron had 11 teeth pulled Friday. So I'm imagining he's at home and in some discomfort, if not pain. The kingdom of God. In Colossians 1:13, we can read, God has freed us from the power of darkness, and He brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The kingdom. One of my favorite things about being an evangelist and a preacher and even as a missionary was to watch men and women grow spiritually in Christ. I wish you could have been here Wednesday night. Mike offered the invitation. I think that was his best invitation. Mike's getting better. He's wanting to grow, and he's growing, and he's not here. That's why I'm saying this. I didn't want to embarrass him. He's not here, so I can embarrass him now. Mike has been taking, I forget what it's called, Toastmasters, because he wants to learn to speak. He wants to do devotional talks. He wants to do invitations, and I'm going to talk him into it. He doesn't know it, but I'm going to see if I can get him to preach one Sunday. Mark did a fabulous job. I've been watching Mark as he's doing heading the Lord's Supper table. And I think also this was Mark's best job this morning. Not that he didn't do good every time, but Mark is here, so I'm embarrassing him at the moment. And then as I watch others, I've seen this morning, I know she did it for many, many years, and since Shirley is gone, Mrs. Steele is taking over the 2 and 3 year olds, and I know everybody understands how much of a handful Mark's 2 little ones are, but not very lovable children too. But to watch people grow spiritually is probably the best part about being a preacher. There's a lot of parts that aren't quite as fun as well. But to watch someone grow spiritually in the kingdom, because that is what the kingdom is all about. And if you don't participate in the kingdom work, can you grow? Don't we get better? Don't we grow when we use the abilities that God has given us? I think that's true in all aspects of life, as well as the spiritual life. The church is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a heavenly kingdom, is a spiritual kingdom. And when we understand these facts, many things that are done in the church can be understood. And the New Testament church has many features. When we think of the unity and function and the union of the church, we think of the body. And when we think of the warmth and the support and the companionship that we become within the church, we think of the family. And when we think of the rule and the reign of God in His kingdom, then we think of the kingdom of God upon the earth. Many descriptions of the church, but they do not conflict with one another. They complement one another, because the church is all of these things. It is family. It is body. It is kingdom. It just shows the wisdom of God, that He could include all of these things in the body of the Lord upon the earth, the church. This morning we are going to be looking at the church as the kingdom of God, because God has designed the church of Christ wonderfully, but it is His kingdom. Unquestionably, the Holy Spirit wants us to view the church as a kingdom. We today don't understand kingdom because we're a democracy. But in a kingdom, who has the say? The king. The king knows what is best, or at least some of the earthly kings think they do. But God truly does know best. And in the end, it is the Word of God, the King, that counts. In Colossians 1 and 13, which we read, we noticed here that entrance into the kingdom is entrance into His Son. The body, the church, is one spiritual organism. And I'd like to take a look this morning at some of the characteristics of God's kingdom here on earth. I think it will help us understand the church better, and the function of the church better. First and foremost, the church is a spiritual kingdom. Remember the words of Pilate when he was talking to Jesus? He asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Does anybody remember the answer Jesus gave? He said, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If it belonged to this world, my servants would have fought to keep me from being given over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is from another place." I don't know how many of you know the doctrine of Hal Lindsey, but he said, he's the one that wrote that book, The Late Great Planet Earth. Basically, he said, it didn't work out the way God wanted to. Jesus couldn't become an earthly king at that time because the Jews had him killed by the Roman Empire. Well, that just shows that Hal Lindsey does not know the Bible. He has a great imagination. If you ever read that book, he has to have one. But the kingdom, Jesus says, does not belong to this world. Had it belonged to this world, Jesus said, my disciples would have fought. Remember what happened when Peter pulled his sword out? He tried to kill this man named Malchus. Just luckily he was a bad swordsman. He hit the ear, not the head. And what did Jesus tell him? Put that sword away. And he healed Malchus. Because his kingdom was spiritual, heavenly, and it had nothing to do with fighting and lordship in this order here upon earth. The spiritual nature of the kingdom introduces vital truths regarding the church. First, where is the headquarters of the church? Who can tell me the headquarters of the Church of Christ? She's pointing up there. Heaven. Who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ. Where is Jesus Christ today? He's sitting at the right hand of God, ruling His kingdom. The headquarters of the church is heaven. It is not on earth. And He will one day deliver up that kingdom to God the Father. Thus, Christians are people who have entered the rule of God by submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Do we not say, Jesus is Lord? And do we mean it? Are we willing to obey His spiritual lordship and do what He says? Secondly, Christians live, they work, and they worship with the center on spirituality, on spiritual things, and not physical things. I wouldn't do it, but I was going to ask Stefan what his Bible verse was today by Sister Ruth in class. He probably won't say it out loud. Stefan, you remember what it was? Can you say it? Yeah. God is spirit. Do you want to worship Him? Then worship Him in spirit and in truth. A spiritual worship for a spirit. And we also can read that we are in a spiritual war. Not a physical war with swords, but a spiritual war. We bring what type of sacrifices? Spiritual sacrifices. So what does that mean? We go and watch Casper the Friendly Ghost on television. What is spiritual sacrifices? And what do we eat? Spiritual food. Jesus said, the Word of God. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by all the words of God. Spiritual as food. And where are we citizens of? Citizens of heaven. We are not of this world. And we look forward to the world to come because that is our true home. And so, if our citizenship is heaven, if we worship spiritually, are fighting spiritually, and are citizens of heaven, then material things must be seen through the eyes of God. We don't see material things as worldly people do, or we shouldn't. We need to see them as God sees them. You know, anybody know what the Apostle John said about material things? 1 John 2:17. The world and everything that people want in it are passing away. But the person who does what God wants will do what? Live forever. A spiritual kingdom for a God that is spirit. Citizens of the kingdom of heaven do not view this world as people of the world would. At least we shouldn't. Those who belong to the world, they worry. They worry about possessions. Do I have the right type of car for my neighborhood? Is my house, does it fit my job? Do I have the kind of house that someone in my position would have? Worries. They worry about their present and they worry about their future. But we have the promises of God that say He'll take care of us in the present and in the future. So we do not worry about those things. We are not of the world, but we are in the world. We do not belong to it. We belong to a spiritual kingdom and not this physical one. Our devotion is to spiritual things and not to secular things. While we minister to the sick, while we feed the hungry, and while we try to make this world a better place to live in, we do it with the thought of things eternal. We pursue above all other interests the salvation of the lost. And our own salvation as well. We live for spiritual goals and not worldly ones. And by living so, we trust in the Lord to provide what earthly things we need as we do His work. And did Jesus promise us these things? Remember what He said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be given to you. Does anybody remember what those things Jesus had talked about were? And drink. He said, the basics I'll give you if you seek my kingdom first. And what was the kingdom of God? A spiritual, a heavenly kingdom. The second characteristic of the church as the kingdom of God is that the kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. And if you come tonight, we're going to talk about what sanctification means and how it fits into God's plan of grace. But the second characteristic of the church is the kingdom of righteousness. This means that citizens of the kingdom of heaven do not live as they formerly lived. It means changes will have to be made before we can enter this kingdom. Paul said that the children of the kingdom are children of light. I'm going to read Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 10. In the past, you were full of darkness, but now you are full of light in the Lord. So live like children who belong to the light. Light brings every kind of goodness, right living and truth. Try to learn what pleases the Lord. Or Paul also says in Romans 14, 17 and 18, in the kingdom of God, eating and drinking are not important. The important things are living right with God, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing God and will be accepted by others. Now, Paul wasn't saying we don't need food and drink and clothes. But he was saying there are things that are more important. Our eternal souls and the souls of our family and friends and neighbors and of those of the world. The kingdom must come first. Like we just quoted, when you seek God's kingdom first, He sees to it that these necessities are there. Do we trust Him? Do you trust Him, Ashley? I'm going to put her on the spot. She's shaking her head yes, but she's laughing, so I don't know what that means. But trusting, do we trust Him? That's what it comes down to. Do we trust God? The Bible speaks of two kinds of righteousness. First, it describes a righteousness that God gives us when we are baptized in Jesus Christ. When we become Christians, the righteousness is bestowed upon us that is of Christ. That's why we hear about in the Bible, when we are baptized, we put on Christ. What is Christ? Christ is righteous. Therefore, we have put on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified. When we wash away our sins, much more happens than just the forgiveness of sin. God has work and hard work when He's working with people, doesn't He? The righteousness belongs to Jesus, and it is given as a gift. We carry His righteousness because He loves us. It's not earned. It is a gift. But secondly, righteousness is seen as something that we must do and work upon as a process. Christians are to walk in. That means to form habits of righteousness. John wrote, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you the wrong way. Christ is righteous, so to be like Christ, a person must do what is right. The kingdom of God, therefore, is a kingdom of righteousness. Righteousness is given to us, the righteousness of Christ, which is needed for our salvation. But also we are expected to exhibit works of righteousness." That means we need to work at it. Will we ever become like Christ upon this earth? No. Does that mean we shouldn't be trying? No. We need to work. We need to do what is right. Because that's what righteousness in the end means, to do that which is right. We are true citizens of the kingdom when God reigns in our hearts. And when He reigns in our hearts, we will try and work at being righteous. Citizenship in this kingdom means recognition of the sovereignty of God and a submission to His will daily. The third characteristic of the church as kingdom is that it is an eternal kingdom. The church is not temporary, as Hal Lindsey teaches. It is a stable, unshakable, eternal entity. If we are in the church now, we will be citizens of heaven then. Daniel prophesied that the God of heaven would set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. That was in Daniel 2:44. When the angel Gabriel came to talk to Mary, does anybody remember the words that the angel said to Mary about who and what Jesus Christ was and what he was going to do? It was found in Matthew 16. Nope, take it back. It's found in Luke 1, 32 and 33. He will be great, says the angel, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of King David, his ancestor. He will rule over the people of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. When Jesus announced his intention to establish the church, he promised that the gates of Hades, that means the gates of death, would not overpower it. That was Matthew 16:18. So his promise was that the church would not be destroyed, not even by death. If Charlie dies today, I'm hoping that doesn't happen. The church will go on. And Charlie will still be a member of it. Maybe it's better to die today, Charlie. No. The church is eternal. The kingdom is eternal. As citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we possess eternal life. We possess it now, as well as in the future. Remember the words of Jesus when he asked Martha, "Do you know who I am and what I can do? Do you believe that I can raise Lazarus?" She said, "Yes, Lord. In the last day, I know you can do that." Jesus said, "No, Martha, you don't understand. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes will have life." That means now and in the future. Because Jesus said it that way. Christians are a part of the eternal kingdom, which is not affected by time or physical dimensions. As long as we stay in the sphere of God's protection and faithfully listen to his word and obey it, we are a part of the kingdom which cannot and will never be destroyed. Satan has tried over the years to destroy the church and has not succeeded and will never succeed. Using the rule and reign of God in the heart of the Christian as our frame of reference, the Church of Christ is the kingdom of God. It possesses the traits of spirituality, righteousness, and eternity. Its citizens live in this world, but their hearts. And that's the basic part about spirituality. It's a religion of the heart. Do you remember what the prophet's biggest complaint was against Israel? Your outward doings and your lips praise God, but your hearts are far from me. Its citizens live in this world, but their hearts and their citizenships belong to another world. We talked about that in class. Baptism transfers us from one kingdom to another, the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And so the eternal kingdom of God is ours. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, sought Jesus by night because he wanted to understand the kingdom of God. Remember what Jesus told him? John 3:5. "I tell you the truth, unless you are born from water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom." on the day that God opened his kingdom on earth in the form of the church, Peter exhorted the multitude to do what? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The new birth which Jesus described to Nicodemus in John 3 was administered by Peter in Acts chapter 2. Entrance or birth into the kingdom of God, his church, involves belief in Jesus, repentance or a turning away from sin to God, baptism, and baptism for the remission of sins. Have we acknowledged Jesus as King and Lord of our hearts? Citizenship in the kingdom of God brings a spiritual center to our life. It brings a reign of God that should radiate in every aspect of our life. At work, at school, at home, at parties, at church. It brings stability, guidance, understanding, and wholeness to human life. The holy citizenship also brings righteousness, goodness, and peace into our lives. In this world of the temporary, God has given us something eternal. And he gives it to us daily. We have eternal life today, tomorrow, the next day, until Jesus comes, and we'll have it for eternity. Are you citizens of God's eternal kingdom, the church? If not, you need to be a part of it for eternity's sake. Will you not come as we stand and sing?